Let's look at some scriptures. Matthew chapter 7. I had a fairly late night last night, so I was tired and I had no idea what I was going to talk about tonight. I thought, oh, the Lord's pulled through before, but I ended up sending someone a message to ask if they could help me out. So they helped me out with a couple of scriptures. So as Lawrence said, there's a bit of a storm here in Bunbury, so that's the title of the talk, Storms. And Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So it's a very well-known parable here about the house on the rock. And I read the first three verses, and then verse 24, it starts with therefore. You know, he explains. So we understand that these people that prophesy in Jesus' name, cast out devils, they're probably spirit-filled people, and they are here calling him Lord, Lord, and yet he'll profess unto them that he knew them not. And then it goes on and explains that those that are like that built their house on the sand. So they're not their allegiance is divided. So those that call him Lord, Lord, and yet work iniquity, they are people that build their house on the sand, that broken rock. They've got bits of the scriptures from here and there, and their allegiance is divided. They're serving God and mammon. And so when that storm comes, and the ultimate storm is when Jesus comes back, that house will collapse and be washed away. But also as we live through our lives, we encounter storms in our lives, and we want our house to stand on the firm rock, so our allegiance is single. And so when we call Jesus Christ Lord, Lord, he is our number one Lord. It's not just what we're saying. It's not just us honouring him with our lips, but our heart is far from him. It's us honouring him with our lips, and our heart is fully honouring him. Whereas these people that build their house on the sand, yep, they say it, but their heart is elsewhere, that divided allegiance. Or they've got setting up an image, you know, like the Pharisees that, oh, look, I'm so holy, look at me, I'm so good. And yet behind the scenes, they're doing working iniquity. And that house will not stand when this storm comes. Over to chapter 8 and verse 18. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side of the lake. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So Jesus, with that sort of response, could see this man as a religious man, and he's just flapping his mouth, his tongue. It's like, oh yes, I'll follow you, but it's not genuine. He's like calling him Lord, Lord, but his heart is far from him. Verse 21, and another of his disciples, so he's referring to these other followers, said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest or a storm in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marvelled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So again, this is all tied up. So at the start, Jesus sent his disciples in the boat. Okay, you go while I get rid of these multitudes. And then it's the same story that where these two other people approached him, but their heart was not single toward God, to Jesus, and then it went into the ship where there was this storm. And so that storm is similar, of course, to the storm that that knocked these houses over. So, but the disciples in the ship, they called singularly unto Jesus, and Jesus calmed the storm. So, of course, we live our life, if we are single-minded, we can call unto the Lord, and he'll calm the storm. He'll be there for us. Even though we may pray unto him and it might seem like he's asleep, but we have reassurance from the scriptures that he doesn't sleep. We just need to keep praying to him, and he can calm the storm for us if we follow him wherever he goes. Haggai chapter 1. Yeah, Haggai is Joel, Amos, Jonah, Micah, Zephaniah, Haggai. Between Zephaniah and Zechariah. Haggai chapter 1, it was in the time of when they came back from Babylon, and verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? So they were building their own house, and yet the house or the temple of God was lying waste. Verse 5, Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. And he says that a lot in the scriptures, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, and ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house or the temple. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labour of the hands. So this here is basically saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first, number one. Make that your number one goal, not to be divided. So these people were actually there in Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. That was their whole number one commission. A lot of them walked all the way from Babylon so they could build the temple. But while they're there, they decide to build their own houses with nice ceilings and couches and TVs and all that sort of stuff, carpet on the floor. And they left the temple in waste. But God's saying, no, look, you're putting all this effort into stuff that stays on earth. You know, you're sowing and you're drinking and you're making clothes, but you're not reaping much. You're not being filled with drink. You're not warm. You've got wages that go into a bag with holes because your priorities are wrong. You're calling me Lord, Lord, yet not doing what I say. And he says there, consider your ways. You know, why is it you're not putting all this effort in and I'm not getting much back? Why? Consider it. You know, should be putting the Lord first. And even like you put all these efforts in to get the food, the drink, the clothes, the wages. But in the end, you know, it's the Lord that actually governs the weather. you know, with the drought and so forth. So in this case, he's called for a drought. He's called for the dew to stop so that they can't bring forth the things that they put all their effort in to get the produce. But even, you know, I was thinking about this, even if, like, let's say they put the Lord first and there was a drought, you know, still call unto the Lord and the Lord will help them out. Seriously, we've heard great testimonies, haven't we, here in Bunbury, of how the Lord does that. I mean, only in the last couple of years, you know, absolutely phenomenal. The barn's overflowing because the Lord knew that there was going to be a drought. And so the Lord provided because they put the Lord first, you know. So they followed their own ways, and those things that were out of their control ended up being their hurt. So those things out of their control will always be out of their control, but it won't be to their hurt. Carry on to verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God. So they were given this warning to consider your ways. And praise the Lord, they did. They turned. And they then focused on doing what God wanted them to do, rebuilding the temple and following his ways, not having respect unto those around them, but having respect unto God and unto his word and his commandments, which ties up with what was in testimony and also in the gifts, that you have respect unto God, what God wants, to consider your ways, and he will bless. To be single-minded. Luke chapter 14. So then you can build that house on the rock, because God is immovable, whereas the whims of mankind and all those other sorts of things, they change, but God is immovable. So you can build your house on the rock. Luke chapter 14. And verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Lines up just well with, again, testimony and the gifts. You know, hate not those people that you hold in high regard. You know, hate what they represent. You know, as we heard then, people that come up with or trying to convince us that what we've got is wrong. And so that's where the hatred is. Like you have a high regard for your father and mother and your wife and your children, but if they start coming against you saying, oh, no, what you're doing is wrong, no, so you hate what they represent, which we heard in two testimonies there when people were first baptized and received the Holy Spirit, that those people that were highly regarded were speaking the wrong thing. So then there was, hate is a strong word. I must admit, I don't really like the fact that the word hate is there. But yeah, just hate what they represent, you know, what's coming out of their mouth. So you become single-minded, sure of what's in the scriptures is right, and it lines up with your experience. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Single-mindedness. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So with that tower, you sit down and you count the cost, and you start this project. committed to finishing it. Okay, so this is the analogy as well when we're first born again. Be determined to finish this project. Be determined, single-minded, to build that tower, to follow God, to be sure, to call him Lord, Lord, and your heart is fully in it, so that you are then there when Jesus returns. And we see so many times people don't count the cost. They don't weigh it up. And they get baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, sometimes amazingly, and then they just potter off. You know, they neglected finishing off the building the tower. It's there all in ruins, you know, and it's a real shame. But let us be the people that have totally counted the cost and understood the commitment and understood what's required so that we end up finishing the project and the project to be finished when we're raised up to meet the Lord in the air. So that is that focus, locking on to the end goal so that we're not... allegiance is not divided. Our allegiance is not like crumbling sand. It's like a solid rock. Because God is a solid rock. Jesus is a solid rock. So let's be a solid rock on top of that solid rock.
Rock on.
Rock on. Committed. Too right. And also with the war as well. Like, let's say they engaged in a war. They counted the cost. Yep, I reckon we can win this. Then they go full on with it, totally. Let's put everything into it. Because if they don't put everything into the war, they're going to lose, aren't they? They're going to get fractured and discouraged and so forth. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit may have eternal life. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And just jump down to verse 20. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Down to verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. So put nothing, absolutely nothing, before this goal. You know, absolutely nothing at all. Those things that seem dear. You know, we mingle every day with people that hold their houses so dear to them, their brothers and sisters, their father and wife, children, lands, you know, their inheritances and all sorts of things that they hold so dear. But let us put none of those before our goal of being raised up to meet the Lord in the air. As was introduced, this man that had great possessions, you know, he held that as being so important that he couldn't give it up. To follow the Lord. And we live a life that is blessed of the Lord. We need things here to live on earth. You know, we need what is referred to elsewhere as unrighteous mammon, but let God deal with all that, not us. Let's just focus on him, and because at the end of it, we want to inherit everlasting life. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, such an important scripture that I'm sure everyone has found themselves in this situation before. James chapter 1, one to keep rattling around in the back of your mind. James chapter 1 and verse 5, If any of you lack wisdom, which we all do, we're in the flesh and blood, so we all lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So everyone, continue to pray for wisdom. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And all of us here can look back on our walk and find times when we were double-minded. And when you're double-minded, you just focus so much on trying to work out what's going on, which way and which way is right and which way is not right. And then you just, everything else just falls to pieces around it as well. So let us be single-minded, not double-minded. Not a divided focus, but single-minded. And then we'll have stability in all our ways. And that is that rock, that great rock of stability in all our waves. Because we won't be waving around. So then when we get this storm, it will stand. You know, like water, when there's a when there's a storm, it just rocks around low places. It's wavering, but we will be standing on a rock, a solid rock. Last scripture, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. So there was a storm, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I mean, they're great words. You know, in the midst of a storm, we can't see the horizon. It's just, well, we've kind of, distracted from the ultimate goal. But Jesus says, be of good cheer and be not afraid because he's there. Something also we can remember. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. When he saw the storm, he was afraid, and he took his eyes off that single-mindedness focused on Jesus and God, and he was afraid. So a natural reaction, and began to sink because he couldn't see the end product. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, the storm calmed. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So sometimes we need a hand. And praise the Lord, Jesus is there, God's there. But sometimes we need a bit of a hand as well from other saints. In a small way, I did tonight, didn't I? Send out a little message. I need some help to prepare this talk. But we have storms that come upon our lives. But we can get a hand, a helping hand. And it's so good to know. Like sometimes you can just latch hold of one or two saints in the Lord that just can be a great help. Sometimes saints can be no help, you know, but you find someone who can be a help and help you out in the storms. But you always know that Jesus and God will be there. They are the rock that will not move. So we can always pray to him. If we're afraid, we can always pray to him because he will be there. So let us be single-minded. We will be battered with storms. It's a promise. It's been predicted in the scriptures. And we want our house to stand, including with that ultimate storm when Jesus returns. Thank you.